Good morning and welcome to worship. Our preacher needs no introduction, so I'll let her introduce herself later. Just a few announcements. Tomorrow is allegedly Freedom Day, so that means that next week we can do what we want in church. But we feel that we need to move with caution. So we, even though next week we can do what we want, we will be retaining the pews as they are. So we will retain the spacing. People who don't want to wear a mask are free not to wear a mask from next week. We would be singing next week, but Jill and I are away, so we've no openness unless Roy decides. I don't know, we'll talk about that later, but we may be on recorded music here even next week. As some of the more eagle-eyed of you may have noticed, we do have some tables in the car park, because today we're having coffee after church. So we'd love that you'd all stay and have a cup of coffee or a cup of tea or some squash jam. No squash. Tea or coffee. but nice to have a little chat other than a quick hello, goodbye at the door. I think that's about all I've got to say at the moment. So Sue, over to you.
Thank you. Good morning. Welcome to our worship on this gloriously sunny morning. I tend to think this is summer, so I don't think we should complain about the heat, although I'm not sure I want to be out in it. Jesus said to his disciples, "Come away and rest a while. Come into the Lord's presence now, away from the burdens and stresses of life. Come with open arms and receive the rest that Jesus offers to restore our souls and equip us for whatever comes next." Number 449, love divine or love's excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down, fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Number 449.
Thank you.
Our first reading this morning is taken from the Old Testament. It's Psalm 23, and in the Pew Bibles is on page 555, page 555. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Join together in prayer. Lord, you are our shepherd. Your care and compassion were shown in the life of Jesus. We ask that this very day we may experience the rest that you offer, the peace that can restore and revive us and enable us to live the promised abundant life. God, our loving Father, who gently guides and leads us, restore our souls today as we come to worship you. Let us not hurry, but sit at your feet, gazing upon your lovely face. Jesus, our shepherd, who makes us lie down in green pastures, who leads us beside still waters, who restores our souls, you anoint our heads with oil and our cup overflows. We worship and adore you, King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. Let's repeat the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the... We'll turn to music again now, and hymn number 50. Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. Come bow before him now with reverence and fear. Number 50.
Thank you.
Our New Testament reading is from the book of Mark, and it's actually part of a reading that I used when I was here a couple of Sundays ago. It's Mark chapter 6, verses 30 to 34, and then 45 to 46. In the Pew Bibles, it's on page 1008, 1008. Mark chapter 6 and starting at verse 34. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. We're going to start again because I've started at the last verse of the reading instead of the first. I'll tell you about my week a little bit later. Verse 30. The apostles gathered round Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they didn't even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. And then if we could move to verse 45. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. I have been very grumpy this week, and I'm probably going to be very grumpy all next week, because as I was explaining to Rob before the service, it feels as though after lockdown and after all the restrictions that we've had over this last 18 months or so, it feels that suddenly life has gone from here to here, and it's felt like it's a really, really busy time, and I don't react well to being busy. I have always enjoyed my own company. I'm quite a solitary being in many respects. So for me, lockdown, I was in touch with friends and family, but not having to go anywhere and not having to dash across to work and all of that stuff, that actually quite suited me in many respects. Working at home without having to listen to all the conversations in the office about Love Island and the football and whatever else, really suited me, because I could just sit there and work and I didn't have to engage with conversations about Love Island and the football and everything else that people talk about in the office. So to find myself back at work this week in an office with people has been quite a culture shock. and I have been very grumpy, and I have to do it again this week. And then I think I can go back to being on my own at home. But I have to do it again this week, so I will probably be very grumpy this week. When I'm preparing a service, I use material from the Methodist Church called Roots, which gives you what the lectionary readings are for this week, so recommended readings and a theme. And then you kind of develop it for yourself from there, but it gives you the idea, because it's hard sometimes to come up with an idea for a sermon. And the theme this week is rest. The theme this week is silent solitude. And it's been a real blessing for me in many respects preparing this, because it said to me, you know, you're dashing over here and you're doing this and you're getting really grumpy, when really this is all you need to do. So preparing this has been quite helpful. And while it's been really helpful for me, I hope that you'll find some benefit from it too. How many times do you wish for peace and quiet? How many times have you tried to find, I can see Alison laughing at the back, how many times have you tried to get peace and quiet but have been unsuccessful? Maybe you share Job's sentiment. Job said, I have no peace, no quietness. I have no rest, but only turmoil. We can understand why Job would say this. We may not have it as bad as Job did, but we might still be able to relate to that verse. To say that this past year has been stressful in different ways for different people is an understatement. And I'd like to talk today about balance and about incorporating some silent solitude into our daily regime. There are reasons why we might resist having quiet time. Silence is uncomfortable sometimes. It feels unnatural to us. If your house is normally full of people and pets, you know that it's rarely quiet. And when it is, it can be so foreign to you, it's uncomfortable. We might not like all the noise that we hear, but we have to admit that for many of us, it's strange to have complete silence. Sometimes we've got too much going on just to take time out to sit still. Often I get prayer time in while I'm on the move. You know, quick prayer here, quick prayer there. And I'm sure God understands. And sometimes my mind is just too busy. It's hard to focus on being still before God when your mind is distracted by all the things that you've got going on. It's hard to get into a quiet mode when your mind or your feet are racing. Sometimes we might resist having a quiet time to avoid thinking. Sometimes there might be things that we should be thinking about that we don't want to, that we just want to push away because we don't want to deal with it. It might be too difficult or too scary or emotional. So we avoid going there. We drown out our thoughts through things like the television or radio or something else. You ever been watching television late at night and you've started dozing off? So you turn it off and you go to bed and you're yawning as you turn out the light. And as soon as your head hits the pillow, bang, it's like your mind wakes up and starts racing. You start having strange thoughts and you're like, where is this coming from? A few minutes ago, I was falling asleep, but now I just can't shut my brain off. We sort of turned our brain off when we were watching television. But now that the preoccupation of the noise has disappeared, all we have now are our thoughts. And sometimes we don't want that because we're trying to go to sleep. But that's what can happen with silence. Our brain kicks into a different gear. And sometimes the thoughts that pop into our minds are things that we don't want to think about. It can be hard to focus. Sometimes we have too much quietness in our lives. There are people who would actually want to have less quietness in their lives than they do. Solitude for some people isn't something that they look for. It's something that they hide from. Maybe as a child you were sent to your room a lot and you had nothing but silence to keep you company. Maybe you live alone and much of your time is spent in solitude. For you, solitude can be confinement, it can be restricting. So whenever possible, maybe you seek to be around people because you know that when you go back home, there will be solitude and silence. With COVID, with all of the restrictions over the last year, we've all had to be inside more. We haven't been able to go to all the places that we normally would. So we're spending a lot of time at home. And these are some of the reasons why we might be saying, No, thank you, to some silent solitude. Maybe we don't want to deal with things in that way. Sometimes our attempts at solitude are interrupted. Sometimes it's just that we're not avoiding it, we just can't get it. We try to get away by ourselves, but we constantly get interrupted. Jesus dealt with that too. I mean, both Jesus and the disciples in the reading that we took this morning, but also in Mark chapter 1. We read, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, everyone is looking for you. Jesus replied, let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages, so I could preach there also. That's why I've come. So he travelled through Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. This takes place early in Jesus' ministry. He'd spent the day teaching and driving out evil spirits and healing people. So he got up early and went out to be by himself, and it's understandable why he would need to do that. During his ministry, he would undoubtedly be busy from sunup to sundown. Whether he was travelling or doing all the things that I mentioned before, he wouldn't have the opportunity to get away by himself to relax. And maybe that's your world. Maybe from the time that you get up, it's time to go. You have work to do and a family to take care of. Perhaps there aren't enough hours in the day for you to do everything that you'd like to get done. So you might say, quiet time, get away by myself. How? How do you expect me to fit that in? If Jesus could fit that in, then we can too. Jesus got up early, but that doesn't mean that he wasn't tempted to stay in bed. I know I might have been. But if that was the only time that I could get my quiet time, I hope that I might be willing to make that sacrifice. We know how we get when we don't get an opportunity to unwind. We get irritable. We get tense. We get stressed. We get grumpy. And not all of this is due to being busy. It's also due to not taking time to be with God. If Jesus needed to get away and pray, there's no way that we can avoid it without suffering for it. But when Jesus does get away, the disciples go looking for him, and they found him. To that extent, Jesus knows how you feel. Everyone's looking for you, they said. Jesus doesn't respond with, can't I have just a little bit of time to myself? Is that too much to ask? He might have been tempted to, but he didn't. Why did he tell his disciples that it was time to go somewhere else? That might have been one of the things that he was praying about. Being alone with God helps us to figure things out. Jesus didn't do things according to his plans and timing, but the Father's plans and timing. He had a lot of ground to cover, many places to go where other people needed him. So it wasn't that he didn't care about the people who were looking for him, it was just time to move on. He would make it back at some point, but for now, it was time to go. There was another time that Jesus was interrupted in his attempt to have some quiet time. Jesus had sent out the apostles two by two. It would be the first time that they would have gone out on their own. And they saw that Jesus really had given them the power to preach and to heal and to drive out demons. And they came back and gave their reports to Jesus, and they must have been excited. I'm not going to do the reading again, but the first part of our reading this morning in Mark chapter 6 records what happened at that time. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all of the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd and he began teaching them many things. The apostles were no doubt exhausted and hungry. So Jesus saying, let's go off and be by ourselves and get some rest, was quite probably music to their ears. Then the boat reaches the shore and they see the crowd waiting. Can you picture the irritation of the apostles? If it were me, I'm fairly certain I'd have been irritated. I can picture Peter going up to Jesus and whispering, "Tell them to go away. Tell them we have to get some rest. They'll understand. You can see them afterwards." But Jesus ministers to them. He saw how desperate they were to be taught and led correctly. They weren't getting that from the religious leaders, and his compassion towards them overrode his desire to be alone with his disciples. Sometimes we can't reject interruptions to our quiet time. We need to be a little bit flexible and have the compassion of Jesus. Sometimes the interruption will be about something that can wait, but sometimes it won't be. We may still be irritated, but hopefully we can be understanding and realise that as much as we try to have a set time, to have a quiet time, life happens and we need to deal with it and try again. For Jesus, it wasn't long after before he was able to have that quiet time. When the boat landed, he ministered to the people, and then it was getting late and they needed to get dinner. And this is when Jesus fed all of those thousands of people. Right after this, Jesus sends his disciples ahead of him while he gets some peace and some prayer time. We read, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. Jesus did make the time to get away. I'm sure his disciples thought that he was going to come with them, but he stayed back. He needed to pray. We see in chapter 1 and here that his purpose was prayer. Silence and solitude are needed to rejuvenate, but Jesus' main purpose was to be in touch with God without being interrupted. It's important to not be interrupted when we're praying. And I know that there are many times when something really can't wait and we have to deal with the interruption. But we need to do our best to ensure that we won't be interrupted during our quiet time. Getting by ourselves to pray and meditate and get our thoughts straight are all necessary so that we can get back out there and do what we need to do. What about those moments when we've tried silent solitude and it didn't work? Maybe tried to do it, gave it 5 minutes, got fed up and gave up. When we're not used to it, it can be really hard to sit in silent solitude for 30 minutes without it feeling uncomfortable. If 5 minutes is all you can manage at first, then that's absolutely fine. Don't give up, because the more that you do it, the longer you'll be able to do it. Whenever I try to be focused and quiet and focus on prayer and listen for God to speak, there are interruptions and there are disruptions. As soon as your mind is on God, Satan wants to redirect you to focus on something else, anything else, so that you're not focusing on God. He wants to keep us away from all the good things that silent solitude gives us. Doesn't want us to be alone with God, doesn't want us to hear God, doesn't want us to be refreshed and replenished. He wants to keep us busy doing other things, and he wants us to continue to be uncomfortable with silent solitude. So what's going to help us to get into a rhythm so that we can benefit from silent solitude? Firstly, we need a regular time that we believe will work best for us as individuals. And if that time happens to be early in the morning, like it was for Jesus, then so be it. But choose whatever time where you're likely to be least interrupted. Make sure you're not tired. How many times have you sat down to read your Bible and pray and have ended up falling asleep? Could be because you're too tired to begin with. The noise around you and the things that you were doing kept you going, but now that you've slowed down, your tiredness catches up with you. We need to find the happy medium between not being too tired and not being too hyped up. Perhaps in your quiet time, God speaks to you through his Spirit or his Word, and you might want to write those down. But don't use a tablet, don't use a computer, use a pen and paper. You need a break from electronics. You also don't need the interruption that electronics bring to life. Earlier I talked about those people who avoid silent solitude because they've either had too much of it in the past or too much of it now. So to say it's a good thing is something that they would disagree with. So how does that get turned around to see silent solitude as something positive? I think it's important to see the difference. If you've been sent to your room or put in solitary confinement, silence and solitude were punishment. If you live alone, silence and solitude can be lonely. But now silence and solitude have a different meaning and purpose. It's nothing to do with punishment. It has to do with blessing. Instead of being filled with loneliness, it's time with Jesus. And before it was something that you might be afraid of and dread, now it can be something to look forward to. One of the things that helps us do better at making the time for silent solitude is to understand the benefits and to realise that we're being deprived when we don't have it. Solomon wrote, "Better a dry crust with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting with strife." Solomon is talking about peace within the household, but this holds true for everybody. We're taught here that material blessings aren't worth sacrificing the precious gems of peace and quiet. Here we see the value of peace and quiet. Given the choice between a dry crust and a feast, we're probably going to choose the feast. But throw in the condition that with a dry crust comes peace and quiet, and with the feast comes strife, I can't speak for you, but for me, that's a game changer. We need to place that high of a value on our peace and quiet. If we don't strive for it for ourselves, then how can we expect our house to be filled with it? If we don't take time to seek silent solitude, we'll have strife instead, be irritated, grumpy. Another benefit is that it allows us to think. When things are chaotic, how often do you say, "I can't even hear myself think"? It's a funny saying, but I think we kind of understand it. It means there's too much noise to think clearly. We need silent solitude so that we can concentrate, focus, and think. Works for our ears too. Silent solitude will help us hear the voice of God more clearly. Our time with God isn't just about reading his word and praying. It's also about listening. It's about hearing what he's saying to us as we read his word. It's about hearing as he responds to our prayers. If we're able to listen, we can hear him give insight and direction. We'll hear his knowledge and his wisdom. We'll get answers or confirmation. Before refrigerators, bear with me, I know that was a bit of a leap. Before refrigerators, people used ice houses to preserve their food. Ice houses had thick walls, no windows, and a tightly fitted door. In winter, when streams and lakes were frozen, large blocks of ice were cut, hauled to the ice house and covered with sawdust. And often these big blocks of ice would last until well into the summer. One time, a man lost a valuable watch while working in an ice house. He searched diligently for it, carefully raking through the sawdust, didn't find it. His fellow workers also looked, but their efforts proved futile too. A small boy who heard the futile search slipped into the ice house during the afternoon and soon emerged with the watch. The men asked him how he found it, and he said, "I closed the door and then I lay down in the sawdust and I kept very, very still. And soon I heard the watch ticking." When we're silent before God, we will hear his voice. Let's make sure that we make the sacrifice of setting aside the time to get alone with God in silent solitude. It will improve our quality of life, and it will help us to find a balance that is often missing. Let's turn to music again, number 649. The King of love my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine for ever. Number 649. Let's join together in prayer. Gracious God, you always make time for us. We are sorry that we don't always make time for you. When we're rushing around being busy, sometimes even when we're doing your work, we forget about you. We're sorry when we make our lives so full that there's no room left for you, no room to get away, to be in a quiet place with you. Forgive us, Lord, and help us not to hurry, but to slow down, to make space for you to dwell within us. And in that dwelling place, may we seek what you want us to do and who you want us to spend time with. Help us to get the right balance, a right rhythm that is in tune with you. Even though sometimes we go astray, you are our shepherd, the one who brings us back to the fold. We're assured of your forgiveness, and we're set free in the knowledge that you always make room for us. Thank you that you always had time for people, even when you were tired and needed rest. When the crowds gathered, your compassionate heart healed and restored all those who came to you. Thank you that you are kind and caring and lavish your love upon us. Your self-giving love has set us free to be the people that you have called us to be. Thank you that you are present in the big and small things of our lives, in the ordinary and everyday times, and in the extraordinary and special times. You never leave us or forsake us. Lord, your compassion for the crowds that swamped you was ever present. Compassionate Lord, we bring before you now our brothers and sisters around the world. In China, where churches are being destroyed, In South Africa, where many are being threatened with guns if they set foot out of their homes, we pray for all Christians and for all victims of prejudice here and worldwide. Lord, you took your disciples away from the crowds to rest and find refreshment, but it wasn't always easy because the crowd followed and made demands on your time. We pray for your church today, for all ministers, worship leaders, youth workers, all those that you've given the responsibility of leadership to. We ask that you enable them to find or regain a healthy balance amidst the rhythm of life's rushing and resting. Lord, we pray for the bereaved and all those who are sick in mind or body or soul, for all those burnt out by rushing here and there, caring for others without giving a thought for their own self-care. We pray for all of those anxiously awaiting long overdue operations and all those who are having to find new rhythms of life at this time due to suffering long COVID. We lift before you all those in our communities who are finding life transitions difficult and daunting. Refugees settling in new places, young adults leaving care and forging their own life, children leaving the familiar surroundings of junior school to head to bigger school after the holidays, those leaving and looking forward to college or venturing into the rhythm and challenges of the workplace. As restrictions lift, we pray for those preparing to go back to the workplace rather than working from home. Many have been stressed, trying to find balance for work amid family life in lockdown. Others have been found working from home beneficial and are nervous or anxious about returning to the office. We lift all to you as they attempt to restore or find a new balance. Lord of all righteousness and peace, we pray for a dissolving of hatred and a renewal of compassion and unity. In Jesus' name, Amen. Before we sing our closing hymn, I'd like to remind you that we've got tea and coffee outside after the service, and it is relatively shaded, I promise. And our service next Sunday will be led by Frank. Our closing hymn is number 111. Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. Reclothe us in our rightful mind. In purer lives thy service find. In deeper reverence praise. Number 111.
Thank you.
Let's repeat the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and evermore. Amen.